Could open your Bibles in the Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. We'll continue our journey through the Bible. And now tonight we park on Judges chapter 14. If you have an outline, if you want to follow, I'm going to read a couple verses here for you. All right, Judges chapter 16, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1 there, and it says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father," verse 3, "Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We can learn so much from it, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we look at your word tonight, as we dissect these verses, I pray, Father, that give us something, Lord, we can take home with us. We can make application of it and live it, Lord. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue to do our journey through the Bible and in the book of Judges right now. We look at this chapter. This is a very important chapter right here. And the title of the message tonight is Look at the Signs. Look at the Signs. Did you notice that everywhere you go, there are signs? Did you notice that? Or you don't pay attention? There are signs everywhere, right? Signs of all kinds of signs. There are signs of warnings. There are signs of publicity. There are traffic signs, business signs, church signs, street signs, airport signs, hospital signs. There are all kinds of signs everywhere. We glance at it sometimes. Some people say, you saw that sign back there? What sign? We kind of miss it out. Interesting, in my job, we end up both doors and we walk in. It says, "Do not enter if you're not qualified." And people walk right in and we look at them and say, "Did you read the sign?" "What sign?" "The one at the door." It's amazing. But anyway, there's all kinds of signs. Signs are everywhere with the purpose of what? Informing people, protecting people, and warning people, right? If you see a sign in the road that says detour, you know it's a warning. Why? Because something is ahead. They don't want you to move that way. It's a detour. Or you see a sign says stop. Stop. Don't roll. Stop. All right? It's not a yield. No, I don't. It's amazing that we all do that, right? There's a stop sign here, and you stop like 10 feet ahead of the stop sign. My nephew did that. You know, the stop is a main road with two lanes, actually four lanes. And he stopped the stop sign, but he didn't stop at the stop sign. He stopped like about 5 feet ahead of the stop sign. So when he stopped there, guess what happened to his car? Somebody took the front of it. It's boom. Anyway, yeah. So signs are everywhere. What I said, like I said, to the purpose of informing us, protecting us, and warning us. No, I don't think that is very wise in our part when we ignore a sign. Doing that, it can lead to injury or even death, isn't it? There are warning signs that our bodies give from time to time that tells us that, you know what, something is wrong with you. You get a fever. That's a sign of an infection somewhere. You got a headache. You know, there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of signs that even your body gives you, and there's little warnings. You need some medical attention. And ignoring that only gets what? Worse. You say, "Well, let me sleep. Let me sleep because tomorrow I might wake up okay." Now, if you have a problem there, it's just going to get worse. It's like, you know, you're driving your car and you notice that your car is doing something different, and you just I need to go to the garage. You know what you do? Turn the music loud as you can, so you ignore that sign. You know, some people, they're like, "Oh, if I don't hear it, I don't know." You know, some people do that. It's like, you know, until someday you turn the key on, you drive down the street, and boom, that's it. You ignore the sign. The poor guy went as long as he could. You know, so. There are warning signs, like I said, for all kinds of things. For an example, feelings of sadness, feelings of hopelessness, feelings of anxiety, and other unwanted feelings are signs of that there may be depression. To ignore these warning signs can lead to far worse mental issues. There are signs that our body gives on which indicates that something is wrong with us. And those signs can be detrimental for our health. There are spiritual signs as well. See, these, I'm talking about physical signs. What about spiritual signs? There are signs when we slack up in our commitment to the Lord. We don't attend church regularly. We don't pray like the way we used to. We don't give like the way we should. There are times when we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness. And we kind of shite, like Baptists are very usual. They never sit in the front. They sit in the last pews, you know. They kind of slid back. It is all kinds of signs, even on our spiritual walk, that should be warnings to us that say, whoa, something is wrong. I need to go to the altar. There are signs. There are times when we flirt with sin. We mess around in areas where we have no business being. When we ignore those signs, and there are many more I could mention tonight, we are heading for a spiritual shipwreck. And many Christians go that way. In our text, Rhea Samson, I always confuse this name because of my accent here, manifests all the signs of a man who was headed for trouble in his life. Yet he ignored every one of those signs and traveled even farther down the road that would lead him to dishonor, defeat, and even death. If you know the familiar with Samson, you know what this is all about him here. So Samson took those first steps down the road to ruin. He had no idea where his path would ultimately lead him. Let me tell you, the same thing with us. Sometimes we take two steps this way, away from the Lord. We think we're okay until we take two more. Then we take two more. Then when we look way, way, way far where we should be, then we're in trouble. And you say, when we take two steps, we say, I can handle. I'm a big boy. I can handle. Oh, two more. I can handle. Can you? I remember years ago, my grandfather was a fisherman by trade, a farmer by part, and he was a man who was always working. We went to the farm, and I was a kid. I was like nine, around that age. And my grandfather always planted tobacco. I hated tobacco, but he planted tobacco. That tobacco used to grow so big, and I used to get lost in those leaves. And that stuff smells so bad, especially in the summer. But how are we going to plant tobacco? So what he wanted me to do, that was during the summer school. I was away for the summertime. It was just like every foot put a little plant. And he would go behind me and they were planted by hand, him and my uncle. So I decided I was going to explore the farm as they're walking. So I let him walk and I let him walk until I couldn't see him no more. I knew the place. So I'm walking and I'm like, now I can do it. I'm going to get there by myself. Guess what? I got lost. I couldn't find the farm. And they got worried because they had nobody to put the plants. They were looking for me. I went in the opposite direction. I thought I was good. But that's what happened to us Christians, is that we take two steps, we take two more steps, we take two more, and we're like, I can handle, I'm a big boy. Before we know, we're totally lost over here. And God says, where are you going? So I want you to notice the signs that should have stopped Samson in his tracks and sent him to a new direction. As we look at these signs, I want you to know that you can see the signs that point to danger ahead of your life as well. And we can see, all of us here tonight, I'm going to include myself in this message tonight because I need to hear that, is that there are signs around us. I'm talking about spiritual signs right now. There are spiritual signs that if we filter them to the Bible, we can see that we are walking away from the Lord. That's why it's important, folks. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. If you don't read it in the morning, read it in the afternoon, read it at night, but read it about your Bible every day because that's what keeps you in line. Otherwise, you're going to start walking to this way, in this way. Keep in line. Read your Bible. That's why God gave us His Word. Read your Bible. So, well, they want me to do the little points tonight. I'm going to try this. This is interesting. All right. It's part of the new technology. I'll keep your eye on you guys. Anyway, let's look at this from several points. Look at the signs. No, the number one, a young man's growing desires. A young man's growing desires. Let me see if I did it. Did I? Ah, there it is. A young man's growing desires. I did it. I was touching the wrong button. All right, I got that's the right button. Okay. That was the errors. Okay, good. I got to put this somewhere here. So a young man's growing desires. That's normal to all of us. We all of us grow, don't we? Listen, and as we grow, so is our desires. You got that? For an example, when I was a little kid, or a little kids, when they're small, their desires are like a little toy, another toy. Sometimes I'm always fascinated at Christmas time. I look at Alex right now. Is that, you know, you give them this nice toy that you pay $50, $60, $80 for it, and they're more interested in the box than they are in the toy. And you go, I should just buy an empty box. Might be better. But it's interesting how kids are. But their desires are just like a little toy, a little thing. Give them a little candy. That's what they want. But as we grow, so our desires grow as well. So let's say when you're small, you want a Hot Wheel, right? When you get to be big, you don't want a little Hot Wheel. You want a big Hot Wheel because your desires are much bigger now. Right, Patrick? So your desires are much bigger now. So anyway. So, like I said, some people grow to have nothing more than evil desires, okay? Some people's desires are nothing but evil constantly. They're constantly doing that. Other people's desires are to do good all the time. So Samson was not an example of that. So Samson grew so did his desires and for things that was not pleasing to the Lord. So we need to be careful, listen, folks, with our desires, that our desires do please the Lord, all right? Be careful what's in your mind, because sometimes our desires do not please God at all. And Samson's desires in this passage did not please God. So the desire that gripped Samson's heart was that and that motivated his life should have been a warning flag that problems were around the corner here, but his parents didn't stop him neither. Listen, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. It is okay when we tell our children no, with no explanation. It is okay. I know the teenagers are back there. But anyway, it's okay. Sometimes we don't have to give them an explanation. Just the answer is no, that's it. Well, the parents right here, this guy's coming to the parents, ask him something, and you know what? They just question him, but they went in anyway along with him. Let me tell you a story. I have one of my children. I'm going to mention their name. He was dating this girl, and I said to him, I said, you don't want to marry this girl. And he looked at me, why? I said, no explanation, I don't want to marry the girl. Years later, he told me, Dad, I'm thankful that I didn't marry that girl. I'm glad you told me that. Sometimes, you know, the parents just have an unease about it. It's just an unease about it, and you just say it. I had to say it. You know why? Because we love them enough to tell them that. But anyway, right here, doesn't happen that. So the desires that gripped Samson's heart, like I said, was that, and that motivated his life, should have been a warning flag, but it was not, needed to his parents. So letter A, here he goes, the desire for woman. Okay, the desire for woman. Look at verse 3. I already read these verses. From verse 1 to verse 3, he tells us that his parents that he had been in Timnath. He shouldn't be there, okay? Timnath was a village that belonged to the tribe of Dan. Apparently, it was occupied by the Philistines. And on his trip to Timnath, Samson, look what it says, saw a Philistine woman. She captured his eyes, and he tells his parents to get her for him. He wanted to marry her. So what's wrong with that, you say? It's just a young girl that needs a husband and he likes her. That's it. Let's go marry. It is something wrong here. Who was Samson? He was a Nazarite, wasn't he? Okay. So the word her in verse 2 and 3 is an emphatic personal pronoun. It has the idea that his parents are to get her and no one else but her. His mind is made up, and he will not consider marrying no other woman. That's what he wants. That's his desire. That's what he wants. It is a word not, noting. I'm sorry, noting here as worth noting here that Simpson's life can be summed up over the events surrounding three women. You want to write that down? I don't even think is that in your outline. Oh, they put that for me. You know, I'm learning this thing right here. Okay. So the first woman, it was the woman of Timnath in Judges chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. The second woman that was influential in his life was the harlot of Gad in Judges chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. And the third woman was Delilah, which is Judges 16, verse 4 to 20. All these women had not been part of Simpson's life. We wouldn't know nothing about him because all the events of his life are surrounding around these women. Okay? Those three ungodly women limited Samson's service to the Lord, and they shortened his life. Let me tell you this. We need to be careful who we involve ourselves with and the things that we do, because it can prevent us to fully serve the Lord the way he intends us to serve him. You know, it's amazing sometimes the Lord is about to use somebody, and that person is getting tails with all kinds of nonsense. And it goes to the opportunity of serving God in a bigger way. Samson may have been strong physical, but he was weak spiritually, especially when it came to women. So he had no self-control. And let me put this, I think I've got it in the outline, let me see. Okay, there we go. True strength is not measured in how much you can lift. All right, all those bodybuilders. True strength is measured in how well you can control your actions, your attitude, and your appetite. You got that? Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than a mite, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that ruleth the city." It would do us well to remember that our problem in the spiritual realm began in the same place that Samson's problem began. Where is that? In the heart. It begins in the hearts. That's why we have to be careful where these eyes look at and where we put these eyes to. Because when we see, we want. That's what happened in Samson. He saw the woman, and before you know, he desires the woman in his heart. And before you know, he go tell his mom and dad, go get me that woman. Wow. So the problem of sin is an internal problem. It doesn't begin with someone else. It doesn't begin with the devil. It begins with us. We are sinful creatures, and the desire comes with us inside of our hearts. It should be a warning sign. When we begin to long for the things that God forbids, it is a sign that we are headed for trouble. For an example, you're married, okay? God give you a wife or give you a husband. Keep your eyes on him. You know why? Because when you take your eyes off them, you're heading for what? Trouble. Let it be. We see the desire for self-gratification. I'm not there yet. Oh, there he goes. The desire for self-gratification. Look at verse 3. It says, "And his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among of my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" So they ask him a question here. And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." There are two statements made by Samson that stands out right here. Those two statements are a glimpse that we can take inside of his heart. He said, "Get her for me, because secondly, she pleases me well." Samson focused on what he thinks, he feels, and what he wants. And that's the problem of all of us. What we think, what we feel, and what we want. Notice that he went to Timnah and saw a woman. When he saw her, he wanted her. And nothing would prevent him from having her. That's a problem. Many people get in trouble sometimes when they see, they want, and they do anything to get it. And they get in trouble. There's a young man that works with me right now. He's fooling around with this girl. Always disappearing out of his place, always. I told him, I just call him aside. He's not a Christian man. I call him aside. I said to him, I said, "Listen, then just give me a word of advice, okay? How many kids you have? 2. How old is your kids? 5 and 9. Okay. How long you been married? 5 years. Why don't you look at your wife and leave the other woman alone? Oh, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I said, we're not stupid. Everybody can see it. The only person that didn't see it yet was your wife. Oh, thank you for the advice. Well, I hope you take it to heart. You see, Samson was focused on the things that he, what he thinks, he feels, and he wants. So when he saw her, he wanted. Now, the objections of his parents right here, not what anyone else thought about the issue, they go right along with it. Why did parents just say, no, I'm not going to get this woman, I'm not going to do this? Because it should know better than that too. You see, it was against God's will for Israel to marry a Philistine woman. It was against God's will, according to Exodus chapter 34, verse 16, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, Joshua 23, 12. It was not for Jewish people to marry outside of their realm, so to speak. They have to be another. They will marry another people from the land. You don't do that. Let me tell you this. He only cared about what made him happy, and he lived his life to please himself. Desires that stood in opposition to the will of God should have been a warning flag to Samson. After all, he was to live his entire life as a Nazarene to God. He was to live a separated life unto the Lord. That is, he was to be separated, like I said, unto the Lord for a lifetime. Listen, doesn't the Lord call us to be separated as well? A lot of churches don't like to preach that, and a lot of people don't like to hear that, but God called his people, his children today, to be separated unto him as well. When he says, be holy for I am holy, what is he saying? The word holy is separated unto God, so we separate ourselves from this world unto God, which is holy. But people don't want to hear that these days. People want to live the way they want to live, do what they want to do, fulfill the desires that they want. And then, God is out there. Oh, no. See, the what was required of this man here, it's required of all of us today. Separate yourself unto the Lord. So his life was not to do as he pleased, neither is ours. His life was the Lord's was the Lord's to use, and God alone saw fit for him. Same thing. We ought to separate ourselves unto the Lord and let the Lord use us for his glory. Question is, how separated are you tonight? They are an application to us. Here in these verses, when the Lord saved us, listen to this, he redeemed us unto himself. He purchased us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. We are his possession, Titus 2:14. That verse says, who gave himself for us that we might that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The word peculiar does not mean weird or strange. It refers to that which is one's own belonging, is one possession, a people selected by God from other nations unto his possession. So we ought to be a separated people. Listen, you saved, you are separated unto God for his service. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to him. He's your heavenly Father. There's a word in the New Testament that sums up what Samson's attitude is all about, lasciviousness. The word speaks of unbridled lust or shameless. He did what he did, he didn't think about it. He speaks of an attitude that says, I will do as I please, and I don't care what anyone thinks or what anyone says. That's my prerogative. Let me tell you this, that's out of attitude of a lot of people. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. And don't judge me. Listen, nobody judging you, but some people do that. I do what I want to do. I'm going where I want to go. And it's between me and God, and nobody has to say anything. Is God pleased with that? That's the question. It is a me first attitude in many people. It is a mindset that says all that matters is to me is getting me what I want. So lascivious is a warning sign. It is a sign of danger that lies ahead for persons afflicted by it. Let me tell you this. We have to be careful because there are spiritual warning signs for all of us. We need to be careful that we don't fall and we don't ignore those signs like Simpson did. Well, Simpson, when he went to Timnath, it was a warning sign there. Don't look at the woman of the land. Look at the woman in Israel. Don't look at these women. They don't belong. He didn't care. And you know what? In his lust, he went and dragged his parents with him. Number two, a young man's disrespecting heart. A young man disrespecting heart. We see this from verse 2 and verse 3. Actually, look there in verse 2. So it came to pass, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. A couple of words to the young people here. We have some young people, like Mark. You have God's given rights to agree or disagree with your parents. Right? Just happened between, let me tell you this. You have God's given rights to agree and disagree with your parents, but don't disrespect your parents. Follow that? There is a line that should not be crossed there. Mom, Dad, I'm sorry, but I don't agree with you. Fine. That is fine. But is it, when that line disrespects you, when we begin to disrespect our parents, we cross the line we shouldn't cross. Let me tell you this. Did Jesus agree with Joseph and Mary the whole time? If you look at the Gospels, he did not. When they figured it out that they thought that he was lost and they found him in a temple teaching, did Jesus disrespect Mary and Joseph? No, he did not. But he didn't agree with them. You see, it is a way to agree and disagree with our parents, and Jesus teaches us that, but we don't disrespect them just because we don't agree with them. You follow me on that? Keep in mind that our parents are not perfect. They will never will be, neither are you. It is never right for you to disrespect your parents. They are your parents. I don't care how wrong you think they are. Letter A. You see, I'm having a hard time with this. I've got to learn this thing. So his parents' sobering reminder. Look at verse 3 right here. There's a question mark there. His parents remind him that what he was doing was wrong. When Samson's parents heard that what he wanted to do, they immediately warned against following this course of action. They know that what Samson was planning to do was not the Lord's will. And they tried to change his mind by encouraging him to marry a godly Israelite girl. What they do is what any loving parent will do. Listen, if you love your children, some of you have children here, if you see some person that even a boy or a girl that you see is not a good fellow or not a good woman, in a loving way, you try to warn your kids, don't you? I believe you would. And you say, listen, open your eyes. That person is going to give you a bad life. Look what that person's doing. I think every parent that loves his children would do that. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, judge by what you see, but sometimes you begin to see the person, you see their actions, their attitude, how they live, and you say, well, that's not good. So are you going to say, ignore it and say, well, yeah, go ahead and marry? No, that's not right. So they try to warn him what he was doing was wrong. What any loving parents would do. Parents, your children may not appreciate it, but you have the responsibility to warn them when they are about to do something harmful for their lives, especially like marriage for a lifetime. I'm not saying like, oh, my kid's going to marry who I want. That's not what I'm saying. Because some parents are like that. You're going to marry who I want, that's it, end of story. No. We warn them, let them marry who the Lord put in their lives, but if there's something wrong there, it's your God-giving responsibility to warn your kids. Because it can go back around years later. So, Mom, Dad, you saw those things. Why didn't you tell me? That can come back at us. Sometimes the Lord uses parents to hold up the stop sign in front of our children and say, warning, warning, don't go that way, detour. Let it be, we see Samson's choice. Samson's choice in verse 3. Then the father and his mother said unto him, is there any never woman among the daughters of thy brother? And look in the end of the verse, it says, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. So despite the pleas of his parents, Samson settled in his heart the phrase, she pleaseth me well, literally mean, that's the only thing I want, that's it. Samson doesn't care what his parents think. He doesn't care what God thinks. He doesn't care about anything. The only thing he cares is about himself and pleasing himself. All he cares is about what he wants and what he desires. And that's the problem with a lot of people sometimes. The only thing that they care is about what they desire. That's it. They don't pray. They don't ask the Lord to help and guide them. They don't listen to the voice of wisdom. We need to listen to the voice of wisdom. We do. It sometimes comes from people in the church. It comes from our parents. We need to listen to the voice of wisdom. And we need to consult with God. All he cared was about himself. All he cared was about pleasing himself. So he disrespected his parents' wishes. And he disrespects God's will. This should have been a warning sign, but Samson didn't care. Folks, when we begin to walk the wrong path, there are all kinds of warning signs for us to stop, to look and to turn around. God always puts warning signs to each one of his children, especially when we begin to walk the wrong way. Don't avoid them. Don't ignore them. Don't close your eyes to them. Take heed to God's warning and what he puts in front of us and stop and say, well, thank you, Lord, that you put this sign ahead of me so I don't go this way. So now, when there is rebellion in the heart, that rebellion manifests itself throughout disrespect to others and for the things of God. When you find yourself doing as you please, with no regard for how your actions impact others, you are headed for trouble. When we begin to take action, do things, and we say, I don't care what people think, I don't care who gets hurt, I'm going to do what I want to do, we are heading for trouble. We are. When you could care less about what God says in his word, when you could care less about how your actions hurt others, you need to be careful. It's a warning sign you need to stop. The desire to live for self, what I think, what I want, and what I feel, is a manifestation of a rebel heart. It's a warning sign that should be heeded. Life is bigger than you and bigger than me. What you do affects everyone else around you. You know what? Sometimes we say, what I do, if I hurt myself, I hurt myself. Let me tell you, a lot of times what we do hurts others. For an example, I'm a married man. If I did something stupid, all right, who am I going to hurt? My family. There's a lot of people around me that will get hurt. So sometimes, you know, even when we think selfishly that, you know, I don't care about because the only person I'm going to hurt is myself. We are so selfish, we think in that way, but when the reality sinks in, it's a bunch of people that got hurt because of our actions. Number 3, where we see a young man's rebellious heart. You see, folks, rebellious is a heart condition. Rebellious is a heart that says, my way or the highway. Rebellious is a heart that don't care about others, neither cares about God. Samson's parents relent and give in to his demand. They sacrifice the convictions to make him happy. Let me tell you this. That's the problem of a lot of parents today. They give up and they say, well, okay, we don't want to hurt his or her feelings. Let him do. Listen. We need to tell them to stop. We need to tell them no when it's necessary, because if we love them, we want to stop them from hurting themselves. You know, sad to say, and I don't try to hurt anyone here or nobody on social media. Let me tell you this, is in a lot of homes, the children are running the homes, not the parents. And in a lot of homes, the parents are idolizing the kids. That shouldn't be like that. That shouldn't be that way. A home should be a training place where we're training our kids to go serve the Lord after they leave the home. Listen, I'm not talking like a perfect parent, because I'm not one, all right? But I'm just looking at God's word, what God says. We live in a society that we worship children. We live in a society, there are many children are the rulers of the home. Samson's parents, he was the only child, they give in to his desire here. As they go to Timnath to see this woman, Samson apparently wanders off to himself. He is passing through a vineyard when he's attacked by a lion. He kills the lion with his bare hands by in the power of the Holy Spirit. It seems like for the first of many things that he does here, he's a man of great strength and he kills this lion. But it's interesting what happens here. What is he doing in a vineyard? All right, letter A. The place of his rebellious. Look at verse 5. And then when Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. So Samson is attacked in a vineyard. What is a Nazarite is doing in a vineyard? Is a question to ask. Don't he supposed to be away from wines and this stuff? He shouldn't be drinking those things. What is he doing there? See, when we think we can handle, I can get here. We go like this. Oh, nice bottle. I would never open that. Okay. Bloop, open the bottle. I would never drink that. Oh, let me taste it. Oh, the whole bottle is gone. That's what happens many times, folks. The eyes see, the mind begins to justify, the eyes look, justification, before you know, you're doing it. And it happens with all kinds of sin. What is a Nazarite doing in a vineyard? What is a Christian doing in a place of sin? It is not to be a peculiar person separated unto God? According to Numbers chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, he could not eat anything that came from a vine. He could not drink wine. He could not do no business being around a vineyard. This simply reveals the rebellious nature of Samson. He did not care. Perhaps he thought that he was immune to temptation, like many people think. I'm too big. I'm a strong person. I will never fall into that. Listen, we're all fragile. We all weak, and we all fall. All of us. And when temptation comes, sometimes it comes so strong, then you find yourself already down there. Ever been there? So perhaps, like I said, he thought that he was immune to temptation. Perhaps he thought that the temptation would not influence him. But what was he doing in a vineyard? The same is true to all of us. When we continually place ourselves in situations where we can't be tempted, we are revealing the fact that we are, whether we have a rebellious, disobedient spirit. It is almost like we are daring temptation to come. It is almost like we are courting sin and say, just come and try me. Listen, we should walk away from sin, not stand there and look at sin and say, nah, look at me. No, we don't do that. Walk. What did Joseph do? He ran. Why? Because he knew if he stayed there, he would fall. It happened to a lot of us as Christians is this. All of us is like, instead of running away, we stay, and then you know, happen, I can take it, then we fall. Samson went to the vineyard. He shouldn't be there. Let it be, we see the proof of his rebellious heart. Look at verse 7. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Samson's rebellious heart manifests itself in his ignoring all the warning signs and in his following his own, and as he go in his own way. For an example, he saw a woman in Timnath. Then he walks to Timnath, he stops in a vineyard. See the warning signs right there? Why didn't he say, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be an Nazarite right here. I'm supposed to look, okay, now look at this woman, now being in vineyards. But he did. When you do as you please, even though you know God is against it, it is a huge red flag, warning sign that you are heading for trouble. I'm including myself in this, folks. It's me too. We are heading for trouble. Let us see, you see the power of his rebellious heart. The power of his rebellious heart. It says, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside and see a carcasses of the lion, and behold, there was a scarms of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his fathers and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You see what he's doing right here? He's not supposed to touch dead stuff. And he's doing it. He's defiling in himself, and he goes and defiles his mom and dad. And they don't even know. Samson places Nazarite vow in jeopardy just by being near of a dead body. Samson was so full of his own self that he didn't even stop the thing. Listen, folks, let me tell you this. When we begin to put our eyes on sin, when we take our eyes off the Lord and look at sin, let me tell you, when we begin to step down, hey, we just keep going down. There's no stopping. Look at Samson right here. We can look at what's going on here, what this man is doing. You see, again, Samson did not care what God wanted. He only cared about what he wanted. Samson was completely under the spell of his sinful lusts. Such is the power of our own sinful condition, folks. We can reach the place where we no longer care what God wants from us. We can reach the place where all that matters is what we want or what we feel and the way we care. We don't care what God says anymore. Well, listen, folks, when we look at this Bible, when we put this Bible like this and we just let them decorate and create dust at home and we begin to live the way we think is best for us and we don't consult with God, that's a warning sign that we're heading the other way. Listen, folks, Christian people are to use the manual every single day, the roadmap of life. And if we don't, we're not living according to God's precepts. We are living according to our own intuitions. And the sad thing about it is some of those Christians who don't live according to God's precepts, when they're in trouble, they don't blame themselves. Guess who they blame? They blame God. And they say, if God loves me, he would never let me go through this. If God loves me, and they keep going, going, going. And sometimes you just want to say, well, if you didn't do this, you wouldn't be there. But for kindness, we don't say anything. We just pray for them. But anyway, letter D, we say, here's the next point. The price of his rebellious heart. We see this in verse 8 and verse 9. When Samson touched the dead lion, he violated his vow to the Lord. He was supposed to go to the priest and offer sacrifices. He was supposed to shave his head. He was supposed to begin again his Nazarite vow because his sin destroyed everything in his life up to that point, according to Numbers chapter 6, verse 12. The price should have been forfeiture of all that he had worked for. For his own purpose, God does not judge Samson here. We are told in verse 4 that the events were of the Lord. Look at verse 4 there. This does not mean that God planted the sin for Samson. This does not mean that God allowed the sin to happen. It also means that God intended to use Samson's sin to accomplish God's will. Let me tell you, don't misunderstand here what it says. What it says right here, even though Samson was doing things that, not in the Lord's will, against the Lord's will, God used what he was doing for his own glory. And he can do the same thing in my life and yours. You follow that? So God works exactly the same way in your life and mine. He does not make us sin, and he does not condemn our sins. He doesn't want us to sin, but he uses our sin, our sins, to accomplish his purpose and his for his glory. Let me tell you, same thing. Look at our world today. You say prophecy is going to fulfill itself. It will. Look at the lost people of this world marching toward what God is saying is going to happen. God using this sinful condition and their actions and attitudes to accomplish a greater purpose. It's not like I tell them to do that. You follow what I'm saying here? Don't misunderstand me, okay? Even in our sinful condition, sometimes we know the will of God. God uses our where we are to accomplish a greater good. And we praise the Lord for that. You see, I can't explain these things, but I can rest in the sovereign will of God, knowing that even our sins will not detour His sovereign plan. For Samson, the price of his rebellious heart was that he was embalmed in sin. When he broke his vow to the Lord, was nothing happened to him. He must have thought that he got away with it. Like sometimes Christians say, oh, nobody knew. God doesn't do anything to me. I got away with it. No, 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 folks. Sometimes the Lord in his patience let it go for a while, and sometimes he comes after you and me. Sometimes your now sin goes for months and months and months, and God comes to a point and says, child, you're going to stop now. And sometimes we don't like what the Lord brings our way. Number four, we see a young man's deceptive heart. A young man's deceptive heart. Honey and a carcasses was not as strange as it sounds. In the dry, arid conditions of the Palestine would often prevent the outward decay of a corpus. It would be mummified, so to speak. Bees looking for moisture would move into the mummified remains of a dead animal to build a hive there. So it's not uncommon. And that's the reason probably he saw the stuff and took it out. So letter A, we see the blindness of this deception. Look at verse 9. And he took therefore in his hands and went and uneating and came unto his father and his mother and gifted them, and they eat it. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So sin, when it let loose, it causes us to be blind, ignorant, and uncaring. This is the picture of Samson here. He was going this way, and when we give to his mom and dad, he knew it was wrong, but he didn't care. He could have ate and just hide it, but guess what did? He did it. He didn't care and give it to them. Samson was filled with pride that he never considered the consequences of his actions. By eating the honey from the lion, he defiled himself. By giving to his parents, he caused them to be defiled as well. And you can see this in Numbers chapter 19, verse 11 to 13. He deceived his parents and caused them a problem too. When we willfully discard God's will for our lives, we always put others down with us. You see, in a family, we see this in families all the time. One goes down the pit, it drags everybody with it. Let me tell you, I see families like this. The husband falls into sin, walks away from church. Before you know, the whole family is gone. It happens the same, vice versa, the same way. See, we have to be careful what we do, that we don't take our eyes off the Lord. We begin to look in the opposite side. Let me tell you, we allow these eyes to desire the things of this world. And guess what? We walk away from God and walk away from everything, and we drag other people with us. He deceived his parents in here. It is sad but true. Most of us never stop to think about the impact of our decisions that our decisions have in the lives of others. How many times our decisions cut the heart of other people? We make bad decisions and we don't care. And we end up hurting all kinds of people and have wounds in their hearts because of what we have done. Wickedness in our lives always impacts the people around us. That is part of the deceptiveness of sin, It blinds our eyes to the true consequences of our actions. All we see is the pleasure of the moment. Let me tell you this. Look at about politics. When they get caught in the act, when they go do some bad or stupid stuff, and when they get caught on TV, and what they say, oh, I am sorry for what I did. No, you're not sorry. You're sorry because you got caught. You were living it. You were having pleasure. You didn't ever consider to stop before somebody knew about it. You kept going because you got away. You think nobody will ever know. Then somebody gets to know, I'm sorry. Always see that on TV, I was going like, you're not sorry. You're a liar. There's no sorry there. You just want to make a good scene so people can feel bad for. Then they play the victim now. You ever see that? They play the victim now. They're the guilty party. Then now they're victimized. Oh, goodness, you did it. So the purpose of his deception, let it be there. The purpose of his deception. Let's see verse 6 and verse 9. Samson hid his sins because he did not want his parents to know that he had defiled himself. Had they known, they would have demanded him to fulfill the requirements of the law of God. He did his sins because he didn't want others to think less of him. He knew that he wasn't right with God, and he probably felt a little smug and prideful that he had did something wrong. Let me tell you, same problem with us. We're walking in sin, and we don't know nobody to know, and we get away with like, oh, if I know what they're going to think of me, and we prideful walk away because nobody knows. Listen, we need to have short accounts with God. Short accounts with God. Sinful men do not like sin alone. The world tries its best to make sin and sinful products glamorous and glorious and appealing to us. That's why we fall all the time. In the same way, sinful people love to pull others into their wickedness. All they do. Let me tell you one time. One time I got in big trouble. I was a teenager. Got in big trouble. I like to talk about my trouble. My friend came to us. We were sitting. We were having a good time, me and my friend. And this other guy came along and says, "You guys want to come to my father's new property?" I look at him. I said, "Your father bought a new property?" "Oh, yeah. We have oranges, bananas, we have tangerines, we go there, we eat anything we want." "Oh, wow." So we went. And yes, it was true. It was bananas and oranges and tangerines. We were just had a grand old time. We sat in those trees and we ate until we could eat no more. Then I came home in the afternoon, I came home and we were there for hours. And I mean, my mother, by all things, asked me, "Where you been?" And I told my mother where I'd been. And she said, "Oh, that's not his father's property. That's so-and-so's property." And I was like, "No, it's not. He said his father's bought that." Of course, my mother, she went in and investigated the case, and it was not true. So we were within somebody's property that was not his. Probably you lied to us. And, you know, I said, I got to learn this. I don't go anymore. I told him, I was like, "You lied to us." You know what he did? "I did not lie. Your mother's misinformed. Come to my property. We watch." And we went again. We went again. So we had a grand old time. I came home. Guess what my mother asked me? The same thing. Ironically, she asked me the same thing. And I said, "Where I been?" "Oh, this time, my mother didn't want to investigate. My behind got investigated." Oh, goodness. She really smacked the bejesus out of me and said, "I'm going to tell your father, oh, I was in big trouble. I was in big trouble." You know why? Because now I knew what happened. I knew was wrong, and I went to. And sometimes we have to be careful how our friends entice us to do wrong. And they seem like they're all kind and nice and mean well. And before we know, we're just in the same path that they're going. I went the same path. I learned the hard way. So evil people may appear to be friendly, but they are not your friends when they entice you to go places that you then to do things to defile you. Even a professing Christian, if he or she is not living godly or living a worldly life, it is a dangerous person to be with. We need to come to the Lord. They will try to pull you into their worldliness activities. Helps them to quiet their cry of their conscience. So they try to grab others to go with them. We should be strong enough to stand and say no. Perhaps that's why Paul said, "Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly," in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. It is, we should do that. But let me tell you, what we learn here tonight is this: we have to be careful with warning signs. Spiritual warning signs. If you begin to have an unforgiving spirit, that's a warning sign. If you have a spirit that is always trashing others, that's a warning sign. If you have a spirit that is always lusting after someone rather than your spouse, that's a warning sign. There's a lot of warning signs. What we do with this warning sign, the Lord is telling us, "Well, oh, I'm here, you're going the wrong way." See, Samson, the warning signs were there. He didn't care. He did not care. It shows that when he goes and gets the honey out of the carcasses, because now he knows he will defile himself. He puts his hands, he takes it out, but what he does, he proceeds and gives to his parents. That shows that he didn't care. And that's what sin does. It desensitizes our minds. We justify it so much that we don't see nothing wrong after a while. I conclude with this. Imagine for a moment our Samson's life would have been different if he had recognized the warning signs and turned his life towards God. Imagine that. Imagine now what God could do with us if we simply recognize the warning signs that he puts in front of us each and every day. Imagine how much the Lord can use you and me. You know the problem we do? We ignore the warning signs many times. Did you ever stop pass a stop sign without stopping? Am I the only one? And you go, oops, what about a red light? All right, I guess I'm the only one. Okay. But the warning signs are there, right? The warning, next time you stop a stop sign, if there's nobody behind you, back up. Do the stop and then go forward. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. We stop and like back up. Because they're there for us, believe me. There are spiritual warning signs that we need to take heed in our lives each and every day. We need to be aware of them so we don't fall like this man fell. You see, he opened his mind and his heart. He began with woman. That was his weakness. Then he went to the vineyard. Then he went to the carcass. You see, it's one sin after the other. And that's what happened to us. We start here, we come over here, and we come over here before you know we're way over there. It goes one after the other. I think it's this. All right. Okay, folks, let me be honest with you. Temptation is right before our very eyes all the time. Is that true? We have temptation. I mean, you have victory over one temptation. You turn your eyes this way and it's right there. Or you look over there and it's right there. It's constantly. Look at our billboards and our highways. Go into the stores and see the magazines. You know, even the magazines, what at one time was like pornography, if we see those things, today is normal. Right? You look at those magazines in the stores, you're like, oh my goodness, they're right there. But temptation, you look, that is everywhere. Let me tell you this. You know what we do? Listen to me well. Keep short accounts with God. Ask God, Lord, forgive me. If you ask him 1,000 times in a day, that's okay. Ask him to forgive you. You know why? It's short accounts. Lord, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I was thinking the wrong things. And keep short accounts with him, because by doing that, we don't walk away from him. That's what happened in Samson. You know, in all these things, we don't see Samson pray. Did Samson, when he saw that woman, did he went home and pray? He did not. He went to his mom and then said, give it to me, I want it. He didn't went home and say, Lord, is that the woman you want for me? Obviously, he was going to say here no, because based on where he was, Lord, can I walk in the vineyard? That's what we need to do. Can you see any warning signs in your life today? Can we see them in front of our eyes, spiritual warning signs that tells us to not to go that way? I think that the Lord puts warning signs in front of us all the time. All the time. We need to open our eyes, open our hearts and minds and see them. Let's use wisdom, folks. Let's use wisdom. Let's pray.